Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. We're starting a new series just for the Christmas season in December called the Advent Songs of Christmas. Did you know that there are five hymns that are in Luke chapters 1 and 2 that announce the coming of the Lord or magnify the coming of the Lord? The word Advent means coming, and we are in an Advent season where we are anticipating the coming of the Lord. And so we're going to look at these different hymns. I think about singing just this morning and just hearing these little ones sing. What a blessing it is that we have something to sing about. Amen, church? Amen. Think about the hymns of Christmas, Silent Night. Think about Joy to the World. All these we will do as part of this Christmas season. The First Noel, O Come All Ye Faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a singing faith. We were wired to sing about what is the most important thing to us. It makes sense that we would sing about the God of the universe and His love for us. Jonathan Edwards, at one time president of Princeton University, ushered in the Great Awakening, a great preacher of God's Word. He said this. He said, the best, most beautiful, and most perfect way that we have of expressing a sweet concord of mind to each other is music. Martin Luther said this. He said, beautiful music is the art of prophets and can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has ever given to us, music. The psalmist said this in Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You can tell a whole lot about a church by the way it worships. And I appreciate our team and what they do to help us worship our God. You know, it's exciting to come to the house of God, to come to church, and to worship our Lord with enthusiasm. Well, I want you to know that in anticipation of the coming of Christ as the babe in the manger, there are five different songs that are in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. There are five different places where people wrote down special stanzas, statements that were made that could be sung to exalt the glory of God. For example, today we're going to talk about Elizabeth's song. That's hymn number 1. That's found in chapter 1, verses 42 through 45. That actual hymn is in those verses. Then there is the hymn of Mary, otherwise known as Mary's Magnificat. We're going to talk about that next week. And then there is the song, the hymn number 3 of Zacharias. That's in chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Then there is the song of the angels in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And then there is the song of Simeon. And so we're going to look at these different Advent songs of Christmas. Today is the Song of Elizabeth, hymn number 1. And I want you to find your place in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And let me read it from my copy, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. Luke 1:39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. An angel had appeared to her, to Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, and told him that she was going to have a baby, and they were going to name him John. He didn't believe it. We'll talk about Zacharias a little bit later in the series, but Zacharias, the Lord made him mute, would not allow him to speak because he did not believe Gabriel. Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and because you do not believe my prophecy about your wife getting great with child, that she's going to be pregnant, you're not going to be able to speak. And so Zacharias the priest could not speak. And then the angel came to Mary, and the angel said to Mary, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be called Jesus. And you look at verse 38 of our chapter, and this was Mary's response after all that was said. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, these are two miraculously conceived children that meet each other. They come into the same house. And as a result of this, Elizabeth just breaks into a song. And it really begins in verse 42. So there's three things about it. Three things about this first Advent Christmas hymn, Advent Christmas song that I want you to get. Here's number one, John's joy. Now, John the Baptist, John the Baptizer is the one who was to be born from Elizabeth. And the Bible says in verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. Mary had left where she was to come to see Elizabeth. And so she, when she arrived, look what happened. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Two miraculously conceived children meet each other. Elizabeth heard the greeting, and the baby leaped. His life's calling, John, was to announce the coming of the Messiah, to announce the coming of Jesus. And you know what? John started doing this in the womb. He was announcing to Elizabeth, this is the Messiah who has just walked in. I know he has just been conceived. He has just been conceived in Mary's womb, and yet he is here. And so the Bible says he leapt. He leapt for joy. Like his life's calling, John let his mom know that Jesus was there. John reacted before Elizabeth did. He took the initiative in announcing. John was a prophet. He was announcing the coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, here's what was said about John. It says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 76, it says this, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And so this is exactly what John did. This was John's joy. John's joy was spoken of in this particular passage of Scripture. And then the Bible says in verse 41 that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look back at chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that Zacharias and Elizabeth were God-fearing people. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. When Mary walked into her house, Elizabeth, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Many believe that Luke 1, verse 15 was fulfilled at that moment as well. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. It says this, for he will be great, speaking about John, for he will be great. This was the angel speaking to Zacharias. He will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, look at this, even from his mother's womb. Now it says Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, but most likely the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth and the Holy Spirit filled John the Baptist, even from his mother's womb. Now look at verse 44. It says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb." And then it says, "For joy." That word means to exult. It means to jump for joy. In John chapter 3, verse 29, it says this about John. "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." So John is confessing, "It is my joy to announce to you that Jesus Christ is coming." Hey, church family, it's Christmas. Jesus is on his way. He is coming. And John is announcing that. This is John's joy. You know what John was doing? John was preparing people to look to Christ. You know what? That's what we're to do. We are to point people to Christ. Hey, this whole month, today's the third. This whole month, we ought to be pointing people to Christ. Now, the world's trying to point us in every other direction. Man, I tell you, this world is like, it's also moving so fast with different things and all facets of the world. But I'll tell you this, one thing we can do in this season is we can point people to Christ. And that is what John did, and that's what we're called to do. So we see in this John's joy, the Bible says he leapt, and that word joy is that same word, to leap or to jump for joy, all right? Number two, we see Elizabeth's joy in this song, all right? In verses 42 and 43, she actually goes into that hymn. In verses 42 and 43, it says, "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" Now, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke out with a loud voice. That was a term that is used in Scripture to mean that her words were inspired. Many times in Scripture, that phrase is used. "And they spoke with a loud voice." And that means that the words that they were saying were inspired by the Lord, invoked by the Lord. It's frequently used to describe an inspired utterance. Now, why was she joyful? Well, she was joyful for Mary in verse 42. "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women.'" When it says blessed, it means you are spoken well of among women. I read one scholar who said that, notice it didn't say you are well spoken of above all women. But you are, some want to exalt Mary and give her powers of salvation in people's lives. No, Mary would not have wanted that. Mary said to her Lord, "Lord, here I am, your maidservant. Be it unto me according to thy will." She was totally a humble servant of the Lord to be used by God in what God wanted to use her to do. And so Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women," because she had a great task that God had called her to do. She is joyful because of Jesus. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." In verse 42, that is... In the language of the day, there was almost like stanzas. And actually, the second line in verse 42, where it says, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb," actually is the priority of that verse of Scripture. In other words, she is blessed, Mary is blessed, because Jesus Christ is blessed. The fruit of the womb is blessed. So the second line of verse 42 really takes the priority. In the literary form, the second line has priority. The first line is subordinate to the first. So, "Blessed are you among women" is subordinate to the line, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." That's an interesting point that was brought out there. And so, she is joyful. You have Elizabeth's joy. She is joyful because of Mary, for Mary. and the way God is going to use Mary. But she, her joy is centered, secondly, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you notice in verse 43, she says this, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She was using a word that referred to the baby that was in Mary's womb as being the Lord God of the universe. It was a Christological word that she used right there. She said, "My Lord." The title is used in this account for both God and Jesus. Now, in verse 43, she's talking about Jesus. But look right down. It's really at one verse past our text. But look in verse 46. In verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord." That same word, Mary is referring to God in heaven, the Lord God, the Father. That's the same word that Elizabeth uses up in verse 43 when she says, "It is granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me." There was a serious lordship decision on Elizabeth's part to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that the baby in Mary's womb was the Messiah. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an awesome thing that Jesus was born a babe in the manger. We're going to be talking about that all during December, but can I tell you this? Jesus came for a purpose. Remember in the book of Mark, our theme in these last chapters is the theme, like flint. Because Jesus Christ set his face like flint, that he would go to the cross. Why? Because in going to the cross, he makes it possible for mankind to have a relationship with God. Do you realize that you have the potential to have a relationship with God Almighty? The God creator of this universe wants to have a relationship with you. And that's why Jesus came. And so she calls him Lord. It is a Christological word that she uses about this baby that is a brand new conceived baby in Mary's womb. She is calling him her Lord. Now, we know that the resurrection is what just seals the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. That when Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins. And this makes it possible for us to know him. And so we see in this first hymn, the first song of Advent, Elizabeth talks about John's joy. Then she tells you about her joy, Elizabeth's joy. But then the last verse, verse 45, we see Mary's joy. Now, next week, we're going to talk about Mary's hymn, Mary's song. But it's mentioned in Elizabeth's song. Look at verse 45. She says this, Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." The word blessed in verse 45 is a word that means that you have found favor, that you are well off. In other words, it was not necessarily that Mary deserved to be chosen the one to give birth to Jesus, but she was chosen in God's providential sovereignty. She was chosen. Does that sound familiar? Does that remind you of your salvation? That you have found favor? It's like in the psalm, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Spurgeon said that, and I was telling someone this the other day, Spurgeon said that surely goodness and mercy are like two little yapping dogs chasing you at your heels. The psalmist is saying, surely when I live in the favor of God, goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. It's like I can't get away from them. It's not because you deserve it, but it's because of the grace of God. It's because of the favor of God. And so what is Mary's joy? Mary's joy is that she has found favor. I don't know how your Christmas is going to be, folks. I tell you, it's a busy time. It's a joyous time. But I pray that you could slow down enough, and I could slow down enough this Christmas season, and just realize something. If you are a believer in Christ, you realize you have found favor with God. He has been after you, and you have put your faith and trust in Him because of what He has done for you. Now, it says this in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So she's blessed, she's blessed, she's found favor. But the other thing that I think is amazing is this verse is telling us that God will keep His promises to her. He will fulfill what He has said. Because at this point, the angel came to her and said, "You're going to conceive and bear a son." Jesus, we know the rest of the story. We know what happens in the rest of Luke. We know what happens in the rest of the Gospels and what happens in the epistles of the New Testament, how Christ lived for 30 years and then He died on that cross and paid for our sins. We know what happened in the great missionary enterprise. That's why we're here today. But at that point, Mary, all she knew was that she was going to conceive and bear a son. And all of this was prophetic to her. Well, here's what Elizabeth is saying. She's saying to her, she said, "You are blessed, you have found favor, and you have believed." Remember in verse 38? "Be it unto me according to thy will," Mary said. And so because she put her faith and trust in God, the Bible says it will be fulfilled. Elizabeth's hymn, Elizabeth's Christmas song announced that promise would be kept. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, "You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him." So God fulfills His promises. God keeps His promises. You may be a young person here today. You may be wondering, you know, is this really for real, this following Jesus Christ and living for Him? I want to put my faith and trust in Him, and I hear what these people are saying, my leaders are saying, my parents are saying. You wonder, does God really sustain you for your whole life? You know, because so often young people, listen, so often young people, they meet older people. I was going to say like me, but anyway, like us. And you know what? We haven't always lived for Jesus. Now we're living for Jesus. You know why? Because we've been burnt by the world. But in the back of a young person's mind, they wonder, what if I just lived my whole life for Christ? Is it worth it? Can I tell you this? In this Christmas hymn, Elizabeth is saying of Mary, "Because you have believed," she says, "it will be fulfilled of those things which were told her by the Lord." God keeps His promises. That's what I want to tell you. God keeps His promises. Listen, you go all the way with Jesus Christ in your commitment. And you say, "Lord, I'm yours." You get up every day of your life, you spend some time in God's Word, and you say to Him, "Lord, now tell me, take me where you want me to go. Let me say what you want me to say. Let me do with these hands what you want me to do, with these eyes what you want me to see." And you'll look back at the end of your life and you'll be so grateful that you lived day by day for Jesus Christ. That is the message of those that are in covenant with God. Listen to me. God keeps His word. Now we mess up. We don't always keep our word. We sin and we break fellowship. But I can promise you this. Anything that Jesus Christ ever promised, He fulfilled. And Mary's joy was the result of the fact that she had found favor, and she said, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy will." That's a great prayer to pray. Lord, whatever your will is for me, I want to do that. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. Now, this is contrasted off of what happened with Zacharias in chapter 1. We're not going to read it all right now. But in chapter 1, the angel came to Zacharias and he said, your wife is going to conceive. And he said, I don't understand how that could happen. And Gabriel, the angel, said, look, I am Gabriel. Can you imagine being confronted and talked to by Gabriel? The angel Gabriel? That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? And so here's what Gabriel said to Zacharias. He said, look, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. That's pretty amazing. He said, I know that all of the presence of God is not right here right now, Zacharias, but I want you to know that I left the presence of Almighty God to come talk to you, and you're not even going to believe me. Now, that kind of faith is contrasted with the faith that Mary had. Mary was troubled, the Bible says, by the angel coming. She didn't understand. She didn't understand everything about it. And let me say this. You may not understand everything about everything down the road for you in the future. I have students all the time and others say to me, how do you know God's will? How do you? And the truth is we want to see 10 years out in front. You know what I would say to you? You get up every day of your life and you say, Jesus, I'm yours today. What do you want me to do this day? And guess what? You're going to live your whole life and you're going to look back and say, man, isn't that amazing? I see the sovereign hand of God guiding my life. God will keep his word. And so this kind of belief is contrasted with Zacharias, who said no. He didn't believe, and therefore he was unable to speak. Over against that unbelief is the belief of Mary, who said, here I am, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. So here's in conclusion, I got five things. I just want you to, this is not in your notes. You can write these down if you want to. Number one, we recognize that Christmas is about the initiative of God to save sinners. Christmas was about the initiative of God to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. He left heaven's glory. Number two, we are to prepare the way and share with others the gospel message. And church family, I would ask you this. What is it that you are doing to get the gospel to someone who does not know him? The greatest gift that you could present to the Lord Jesus would be your life, to say, Lord, I want you to use me this Christmas season to introduce somebody to Jesus. Now listen, they may not get saved. They may not come to Christ, but you know what? Our job is to be faithful to share the message. So you say, Lord, help me have a gospel conversation with someone this Christmas season, someone this week, so that we can share Jesus with them. So that's number two. We are to prepare the way to share the gospel with others. Number three, true joy comes when you receive the favor of God. Have you received a salvation? Have you been saved? Because true joy, the message of this hymn is joy. John's joy, Elizabeth's joy, and Mary's joy. True joy comes when you receive the favor of God. Have you received this salvation? Number four, God keeps his promises and fulfills those promises. Number five, we're going to want to sing about it. Naturally, we will want to sing about it. I encourage you to let music be a part of your Christmas. Now, some of y'all go overboard. You start Christmas music in the summer. But you know what? I've always loved people that wanted to press us to worship him more authentically and to lift our voices to praise and worship our Lord. Hey, listen, I'm a preacher. I love preaching. I'm a pastor. I love to have my time preaching. But can I tell you this? Somehow, because of what Jesus has done, he puts in all of us a love for singing. We have a singing faith. I read this week that in Islam, there's no singing. In many faiths, they reduce all of the, They have no instruments. They don't allow but just a little teeny weeny thing related to music. Listen, I was looking up here today. Did you look up here and see these precious children and adults and all these folks? Man, they had like over 30 in the choir. That's a record. Keep them coming. If some young person, as a result of being around North Central, loves to sing and loves to use their instruments, what they can play for the glory of God, then praise God. Let me just tell you this. When you know Jesus, you will naturally want to sing about it. Spend time with music, praising Him for what He has done. Hey, we're going to do that tonight. We're going to have a beautiful musical presentation. So it's about the songs of Advent. The hymns in Luke 1 and 2, there are five of them. We're going to talk about them all this Christmas season. Man, I tell you what, when Jesus comes in, you want to sing. Elizabeth's hymn was a hymn of great joy. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.